Welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis, the group of many who speak as one. And here to introduce you to Galexis is the channel, Ginger Metro.
Well, hello, and welcome to Path of Power. And this is Ginger Metro, and I'm the one who channels Galexis, who will be speaking with you shortly. I'm on the road this time, and so hopefully you have your computer screens up so that you can find the phone number to call in when it's time, when Galexis offers an opportunity to call in to ask questions. And also to know that this Path of Power is on the first and third Monday, and of course the second and fourth Monday is Tall Cat Psychic. So we'll be on this week, and Tall Cat will be on next week. And I think we have a really good show for you today. We have just finished and completed a really intensive weekend workshop with Galexis, and Galexis was talking on longevity, aging reversal, and healing, and really just moved energy and did downloads to the participants. And so, of course, all of us are kind of in a flying state at this point, and being here on the road and out of my usual environment, I'm not going to give any more introduction, basically. Hopefully, those of you who've tuned in already know who Galexis is, a group of beings from various levels and dimensions who have come together to speak as one. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into trance now, and then Galexis will be with you, and first they will talk a little message, and then they will open the lines up for questions. And then at the end, they will close. I will come back and close the show. So I'm going to head on out, and I will be back later, and I hope you enjoy your time with Galexis on the Path of Power. So bye for now from Ginger. All right, we are here, and we are Galexis, and welcome to Path of Power. Yes, indeed, we've had a fantastic weekend, lots of energy moving, lots of work done on personal levels of those who attended, and also those who attended are working in a larger sphere of influence, working on the mainstream consciousness, the consensus reality, the collective, or whatever you would like to call that, in which so many old programs exist that tell you that time is some kind of like little linear road, and you move from the past to the present to the future step by step upon this road. And of course, programmed into this concept is that with every age that you live, for every subsequent year that you mark upon your calendars and add to the number of years that you have, you activate a certain program of your collective culture, of your consensus culture, that says that that age, this is what you're supposed to look like, this is how old you're supposed to look, this is how you're supposed to act, this is what you're supposed to believe, this is what you're supposed to be interested in, this is what you're supposed to be doing, and this is how you're supposed to be doing it. And so with all this type of limitation, it's no wonder that if there's a culture that tends to look at aging as something really horrible and really bad, that there's a lot of fear associated with adding years. On those of you who are listening, if you remember when you hit 21, of course, you were wanting to get to 21 because that was when you were into your maturity. That's when you entered your adult life, you know, and so you'd kind of been wanting to get there and to where you could make your own decisions and not be, you know, at the mercy of your parents, your teachers, or other external authority figures. But shortly after that, you begin to worry about aging. you begin to worry about, oh gosh, do I have a gray hair? Or when am I going to get wrinkles? Or, oh my, at age 25, I'm a quarter of a century. That sounds so old. And of course, those of you who are older than that laugh because, of course, at 30 and then 40 and then 50 and so on, with every decade becomes a whole new dump of programs of the subconscious in the unconscious in the collective that says, okay, you know, you're aging and you're this useful to society and you'd better succeed now. You know, you better fulfill yourself. You better, you know, get it all done now because you don't have that much time left. And so there's markers of your life and markers of your journey. And this whole system of aging is simply a belief structure that you have been trained into, taught in subjectively as well as objectively. People say things that indicate what you're supposed to be at certain ages. And of course, when you're young, you think people who are in their middle ages look really, really ancient. And people who are older than that, well, they're, you know, they're totally uninteresting and so on, unless they're your grandparents and give you goodies and things like that. So there's all sorts of ways of relating to age. And the ways of relating to age of your culture are extremely limiting. So let us pose this idea for you. Let us make a suggestion for you. What if that all the beliefs around aging were really just made-up beliefs? What if it was not necessarily true? What if all the beliefs that you hold aren't really necessarily true? They're just what you choose to believe. You see, so many people, you see this so often, generally in religious organizations, that this is the way, this is what's true, this is what's real, this is the only truth, and everything else is not. But you have to question it. You know, when you look at reality creation, you know, that beliefs are not necessarily proven truth. Belief, for example, in evolution. It's a lot of people believe in evolution. But few people, and a lot of people think it's true. A lot of people, a lot of scientists, you know, claim evolution as an absolute. And they will orient everything that they have to say about time and down through centuries and so forth in the context, in the light of, surrounded by the thoughts of, and within the belief context of evolution. However, evolution is just a theory. Right? It's like your beliefs are theories. They're concepts that you put together. And the concepts that you like a lot, they work for you. They have a purpose. A lot of times institutions will have certain philosophies, will have certain beliefs that they hand down. Governments hold certain beliefs. A lot of people, you know, religions have this religious group holds these sets of beliefs. That religious group holds that sets of beliefs. And this group says our beliefs are right and theirs are wrong. And theirs says ours are right, the others are wrong. So when you look at it, you realize this is kind of people squabbling amongst themselves about whose theory is the best. And of course, scientists are all still struggling to try to figure out the theory of everything. Let's figure everything out so we have an explanation for the whole universe, and by golly, we'll have figured it out. Dear ones, we doubt anyone's ever going to come up with a theory of everything. Why? Because every individual is unique, and the beliefs that work for one individual that are helpful for one may not work for another. But consider this. It is your power as an individual, your gift, you might say, your divine gift as a being of light, is to choose which beliefs you want to have work for you, which beliefs you want to live according to. And we would highly recommend you consider the possibility of reviewing beliefs that you hold and seeing which ones are limiting and letting them go by choice and looking for replacement beliefs that have much more freedom for you, that give you a sense of greater capacity of power, greater awareness of yourself, greater allowance of freedom for you, right? You can choose whatever level of beliefs you want. If you want to choose beliefs that basically imprison you, that's your choice. But you see, humanity has come to an evolutionary place. And is in this time period between now and pretty much about 2015, there's a great change of consciousness that is working through, that is moving through the whole mainstream as a kind of an undercurrent, and those of you listening to us are probably very well aware of it. In that undercurrent come opportunities and possibilities of imagining yourself to be far more than what you've been told or what it's been insinuated or what your religions or your philosophies or whomever has told you you are. This is a time to dream yourself as the great light being that you really are and to acknowledge that you've come to this planet out of your love, out of your choice. And while you agreed that you wanted to go to sleep, so to speak, and forget who you were as you entered this life, there was a purpose behind that. You were desirous, tremendously desirous, of learning how to create reality from scratch. See, if you had known exactly who you were, you know, you would have been able to enter in, and you would have been able to instantly heal people, and you would have be able to read auras, and you would be able to know everyone and their soul on their soul level, because you would have been aware of yourself on your soul level. But you decided you wanted to go into the void, kind of into a dark, like a dark room, in a sense. And from there, just to figure your way out. It was like an exciting puzzle, almost like an intriguing opportunity for you to discover. To discover, to put together the pieces, and to remember yourself, to remember who you are, to put yourself back together, to put your world back together in whatever combination you want to put back together. So the opportunity is here for you should you desire to take it. All you have to do is to choose it and take the opportunity to look at your beliefs and to choose a belief that is inspiring to you, that gives you a sense of purpose for your life, that gives you a sense of lift and meaning for your life. You can listen to what we just say and say, hey, you know, I like that. I think I'll adopt that for now because it's more freeing than what I have been using as my beliefs about why the heck I'm here. Or you can say, you know, I'm going to find out on my own. I'm going to discover who I am, and I'm going to go straight to the divine, because everybody seems to point that way as to origin. I'm going to go there myself. And then you begin on a journey of expanding yourself. Now, if you are willing to change your beliefs, it can be rather shocking at first, because every single belief that you hold is really ultimately limiting. It's ultimately not fully true. And even what we have just suggested as your purpose for coming here, we cannot tell you the whole story. It is a physical plane experience that you have to distill everything down to almost its simplest forms in order to work with it. What we do see when we speak to individuals and when we look at the energies of people within a group that we talk to is that we see an extraordinary range of potential and possibility. And we know that none of you actually can see the whole range. We know you cannot. But what our job is and what we enjoy doing is we're enjoying kind of poking around in your psyches, trying to kind of open it up and say, look at this. Check this out. Play with this. Take your power back. Your choice. If you're going to choose a life to live, wouldn't it be more fun to have a life in which you're powerful instead of a life in which you are imprisoned and in a certain limited cultural subset and feel disempowered and incapable of making a difference? Wouldn't that be more fun to think of yourself as the light being, as a beautiful, an amazing, powerful reality creator than somebody who is plunked down here by God and subsequently seemingly abandoned by God, and that you have to, you know, pay attention and figure out all these rules and try to get on God's good side so God doesn't get angry at you and punish you so that you can, when you die, hopefully don't go to hell. Does that feel like a joyous, wonderful life experience to you? If it does, if it feels right to you, if it feels like a moral imperative that this is the path I want to be on, is to learn how to step out of sin and out of my smaller self to obey God, to surrender to God, to be the servant to humanity, and be the rug upon which others walk, and to be so humble that God will come and scoop me up and say, oh, you've tried so hard, I forgive you, and I'm going to take you to heaven. If that feels good for you, go for it. It's your choice. That's the exciting part. But recognize, whatever way you choose, even if you choose the most seemingly free and metaphysical and spiritual approach, as what we are talking about, it's your choice. It doesn't make it right and others wrong. You are not necessarily better than others. It's important to recognize whatever you choose to believe, do not choose it because of the judgment is this is good and that is bad. As soon as you get stuck in good versus bad, good versus evil, better versus worse, good person versus bad person, right versus wrong, light versus dark, as soon as you are in those dichotomies, you are in what is called the world of duality. That in itself is a great prison. Right? So if you can let go of judgment, then you choose whatever beliefs are fun for you, are joyous for you, are loving for you. And if you make a choice based on that without judgment, you can also then begin to look at making choices not based on time anymore. All right? If you are such and such an age, but you have an interest that people your age generally don't have, instead of feeling bad about it or feeling stupid about it or feeling alienated about it, just make sure that it's joyous and loving for you. And go for it. Do what it is that thrills you, that lifts you. Step out of the set that says, the lists of limiting beliefs that says you must be like this and you must have this many wrinkles and you must have that much gray hair or to men, oh, it's time for you to lose your hair. It's time for you to look like an old man, or for a woman to, it's time for you to put on a lot of weight now. What if you had the choice? What we're saying is that you do. What if all the symptoms of aging, all the extra weight, inflammation, wrinkles, gray hair, reduced eyesight, reduced ear hearing, reduced problems with teeth, you know, problems with bone density, you name it, there's a list goes on and on and on. It's a terribly depressing list. What if that weren't true? You see, the reason we bring this up, not just because we did a workshop on it, is also, though, that there are a lot of beings who are watching this grand shift that's occurring on the planet, the grand change of consciousness, and they want to work with you. And some of these beings live for thousands of years, and they don't look a day over 30, let's say. They don't have the same relationship with time as you do. If you want to play with them, wouldn't it be a lot of fun for you to have a really long capacity to live with health and vitality and usefulness? Not to be ignorant and sloppy and unconscious like youth can be, but to be, in a sense, wise, empowered, beautiful light being to inspire and lift others. Not a servant, but someone who shares and has impact upon others and therefore can make a difference, who can support and love others without sacrifice to self, remaining youthful, vital, and strong. So think about beliefs. Think about, what are your beliefs? Make a list. And if you are really, really attached to a belief as true, look even more closely at that one. Sometimes you get really stuck on a belief that can be truly an obstacle in your spiritual journey. We always emphasize the need to look for your light, your love, your power, and to live your life according to your temperament, to this being that you are. And if you shift beliefs and you open to that, the horizons are unlimited. Unlimited. They're expansive. You can tap eternity if you wish. All right, we're going to open the lines now for phone calls, for call-ins. And if you want to call in, look on your screen on Station 1. There are the phone numbers for calling in to the station. And you can use those numbers. That's for the, and you can see the number for U.S. and Canada. And you can see if you're outside of the U.S. or Canada, there are numbers for that as well. So as we are emphasizing, very important as part of the overall flow, the overall evolution on this planet. If you want to participate in it, the greatest participation you can make is for you to lift out the bonds and the shackles of beliefs that were given to you that were not yours to begin with. All right, we have a caller. So, hello?
Alexis, it's Elizabeth.
Well, hello.
I just wanted to ask a quick follow-up from a question that I asked you over the weekend. I thought,
all right.
And I realized that though you answered part of it, I wasn't expecting the part that you answered, but it was helpful. But there's one other aspect, and I asked you about gratitude, and I have, it ebbs and flows for me when I can feel gratitude and when I have a lot of resistance to it.
Yeah.
And so I've been working with the resistance and looking at why am I resistant? And I've been working with a lot of anger. It you know, showed me that I had a lot of anger about all that occurred, you know, earlier in my life and what I've had to overcome, essentially.
Yes, there you go. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything else that you can add? Because it seems like it's slow going. I mean, maybe it's just a stubborn part of me. I'm not really sure. But is there anything that you can see aside from me just continuing to kind of work through those particular issues? It seems like it's a younger part, but just wanted to get clarification because it's been.
Oh, yes, it is indeed a younger part of you. A younger self who is afraid, in a sense, of being in a place of gratitude. And, well, and she's also quite angry.
Yeah.
This particular self that seems to be mostly standing in your way is a self from kind of the mid-20s of your life.
Mm.
And basically, she feels that she tries really hard, and she's trying to do the right thing and trying to do it the way she's supposed to do it. And she has these definite ideas about how life should be and how life should work. And she's already come to the place of discovering that her theories about life don't always work out the way she had hoped, and that things that had happened to her prior to that mid-20s period, things that had happened to her in childhood and so forth, had put her at some disadvantage that she was feeling and resenting. So, yes, there's part of it has to do with what's happened in the past and some resentments and grudges and perhaps leftover senses of restrictions and limitations that have come from that period. But there's also the part that says, but however, I've seen this in a better way, and I'm trying to do good things, and I'm trying to get my life together, and I'm trying all of these things, and they're not working as well as I would like them to work. And I'm really annoyed because I'm putting in all this effort, and I'm having also to overcome the limitations I've dragged with me that came from, and here's the key part, where she is complaining about those limitations, she's blaming. So she's saying basically, it wasn't my fault that I'm coming in with these limitations, or I'm coming in with these handicaps, certain types of handicaps, one of which, let's say, has to do in social situations, being a bit hesitant or a bit shy about how she looks or how she appears in social situations, and having a lot of hesitation there, you see. And that's something that was drummed into her way, way back. So if you look back into your adolescence, you'll see how that got established there. So there's these resentments about this. But the key about the future, the key about looking in gratitude is like, okay, I see this, and here you are at this point saying, I see this, and I understand that I can clear this, and I can go and process and release this. But you know, all the work that I've done, and all the attempts I've made, and all the consciousness I've developed, and all the things that I've done, I'm entitled to more. And we would say that the entitlement energy has slipped in here. You understand?
Yeah, I feel it. That was one of the things I saw.
That's right. But this is not necessarily your current self, but this is your current self taking the energy, taking the point of view of the younger self who is emerging.
Okay.
All right? Because if you look at your life now, overall, there's a lot to be grateful for.
There is. I write, what happens is every day I write down a list of things to feel grateful for. And when I was first really working with it, I just felt it in places, just a level of depth I didn't know that I would feel. And it felt so true.
And yes, and it is.
Good.
It is. And what happens is of course, as you do this, though, you are expanding yourself, and all the resistances to this, all the energies within you that are in conflict with this, have to come emerge and be released.
Okay.
This is part of general growth process. And you've done this not just in this arena, but you've done this same process in other arenas.
Yes. And
right? So now it's happening in this arena. Also to understand that the entitlement of the mid-20-something,
okay,
and that extended probably up until, we would say probably up until about 40.
Okay.
All right? So in that time period, there were entitlements, which were, entitlements really are a, what we might say is a more sophisticated version of blame. Okay? Blame being, you know, I'm not responsible. I'm not empowered completely. So therefore, you know, it's it's the fault of this or the fault of that that happened, or the limitation here with this person who I work with, or this person who I have dated, or whatever, you know. Yep. So it has a, there's a certain energy of frustration of why am I being sent these challenges?
Right.
You know, I don't deserve all these challenges anymore. I've done my damnedest, right? So when you put together your list every day for gratitude, if you can get just a general energy of thankfulness, which is a milder form,
okay,
you're doing really good. Because when the past is dumping, it basically seems to neutralize that beautiful depth, that spiritual illumination of gratitude. Because gratitude, in its truth, if you notice that, is very luminous.
It is luminous.
And when you're in that place, you feel the luminosity of your life.
Yeah.
It's an extraordinary place.
It is.
But when you're having to clean up stuff, and particularly for this younger self of yours, cleaning up the entitlement and separating that younger self out from who you are right now, it will make it a lot easier for you.
Okay.
Right, that's what we would suggest.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there
Thank you.
Anything special that you do with entitlement, or is it just speaking with them and helping?
Generally, entitlement, you just need to understand when you let go of entitlement that if you just go down to the depths and go under entitlement, and you go under the anger and under that rage, and which is under the anger, and then under the fear, and then under the sorrow, and then under the shame, and then under this, and you just keep going down layer by layer by layer by layer by layer under the entitlement, then you will notice that the entitlement is kind of like an ego layer.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
It is an ego layer over all this, like, gunk of emotion.
Yeah.
Okay? But you just, if you'll just give yourself a lot of courage and just sit down and just go through it and go down, and like underneath the entitlement, there's the anger. And under the anger is that feeling of powerless because I want to blame. And so there's rage. And so let's go into the rage. But the rage is this powerless rage is because somehow or another, I'm afraid that I can't cope and I'm afraid I can't make it. Okay, let's go under that fear now that I can't make it. And then there's this sorrow that I didn't do it well enough or somehow or another that I've really am screwing up my mission. I'm really setting myself back here, and this is really I'm not staying connected to source, and so I feel sad. And then you go down under the sadness, and then there may be some feeling of separation and guilt over the or shame over the separation or whatever. And just keep going under and under. And at some point, dear one, you'll find you'll just enter the void. And then you know that you've delayered entitlement.
Okay.
And when you reach the void, you realize that you're in a space of choice. And so what do you use to motivate yourself to gratitude and motivate yourself towards love, loving your reality and loving your life? And it's really the motivation is, okay, with all this stuff out of the way, the motivation is, well, this is just what feels right, what feels good, what feels joyous, what feels loving, what feels like fun. And it doesn't really, I can carry any of this stuff and I can play with any of this stuff, positive, negative, and in between. But when you get down to the void, when you get down to the emptiness, it's arbitrary and you realize it's just up to you to choose. If you can get to that place, you will shift out of entitlement, and you will never, ever feel tempted to go there again.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Really,
you're welcome.
Tremendous.
And thank you so much for calling.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
All right. So we're opening the lines now for another caller. And what we're saying here, of course, what we're emphasizing with the entitlement versus the gratitude, most people see gratitude as a place of weakness or a place of surrender or a place of powerlessness. And it's not. Gratitude is a force, a force that only can emerge from a powerful person, A weak person will not feel gratitude. A powerful person will feel gratitude, right? An empowered person can feel safe and strong enough and courageous enough to feel gratitude. So let us suggest to all those who are listening to deliberately cultivate that courage to feel gratitude, to be thankful. Now, we've had some people ask us, if you create your own reality, then why would you be grateful to anybody or anything? Because it's your reality. And we would suggest this is a part of the communion with the divine. All right. Ah, we have another caller. Hello?
Hi. Alexis, it's Michelle.
Oh, well, hello.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you, very dear one.
Alexis, I wanted to ask you what you thought of all the stem cell stuff that's going on these days.
All the stem cell research and
yes.
stuff?
What you thought about its effectiveness.
Well, stem cell work is going to be extremely effective. And they are only scratching the very surface of stem cell research at this time. See, now, the germ cells, the egg and the sperm, they come together and they create the resources and the pattern and the template for a human being, all right? Or for any being, you know, but the cell, the sperm and egg of a human being. And what happens is that the egg and the sperm together then determine through intention, because really in a spiritual context, when you decide to be born, you basically choose your egg and your sperm. You don't know that consciously how you do it, but you do it so that the vehicle that is your body is going to be perfect for you. And so this is created with an incredible amount of intention. The intention of the egg and the sperm coming together and factors within them as they blend and as they create more of this, they create the initial cells known as stem cells, which, as you know, are the ones then that determine, you know, as they create cells that will go into the liver. They create cells that will go into the bones. They'll create cells that will go into the bloodstream. And the cells that they're creating are called somatic cells. But the stem cells themselves have the overview. They have the greater perspective. And they know precisely what codes and what intentions and what specific orientations are needed for every specific somatic cell that they create, that they generate. When science gets to the place of being able to acknowledge the consciousness of cells, they will be able to make stem cell therapy extraordinarily successful. They'll still make it successful because the intention will be in the experiment. In other words, they'll do stem cell therapy for, let's say, brain regeneration, right? Or for, you know, for Alzheimer's, they're working on that for like Alzheimer's patients to give the Alzheimer brain a different opportunity, an opportunity to go back to the original template of intention of the body to put and create a stem cell for that particular location. That's the intention. And that it works more often than not to a certain extent is thrilling to scientists, and they haven't even tapped the power of intention. You see?
Yeah.
So we would see that the work that's being done now is being done by scientists who don't even realize that every scientific experiment, even the double-blind experiments, all have intention in them and are all being created by somebody. And so at some point, once they acknowledge the creation process in every one of their, you know, tests and laboratory analyses and projects and experiments and so forth and developments and so on, as they begin to really acknowledge this, they will begin to interweave it with their work. And then stem cell therapy will become extraordinarily, it will be fantastic. But what it's going to be leading to a certain extent in the future, is that after a while they will see that because you have stem cells still floating around in your body everywhere, that they may not necessarily need to do all this laboratory stuff. They can just go straight to the consciousness stuff. And by consciousness, know how to activate stem cells in the body to create new somatic cells that are healthy and vital to repair and to replace the damaged somatic cells, the ones who are distorted, the ones who are injured, the ones who are replicating incorrectly, et cetera, et cetera, and to be able to bring those somatic cells that are created by the stem cells into the proper places to take over those functions with an original blueprint, with an original concept that is in alignment with the vision of that perfect health. You see?
Yeah. So if I have enough belief, I can marshal my own stem cells to regenerate?
Exactly. Exactly. You can, what we would suggest that look at the belief about it is like, okay, the belief that science generally has is you have to, you know, everybody, you have to wait until we figure it out and we've got it for you. And then we will have a procedure and then you will go to the hospital and go to the doctor who is a specialist and have your procedure done, and it's going to cost you lots and lots of money.
Right.
So and virtually every scientific advance is being made with the intention of making somebody rich.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so if you recognize that, you can realize, yes, you know, they're going to be able to get a lot done and a lot's going to come out. In the meantime, what you want to do is to do your own experiment meditatively, psychically, and go within your brain, go within your into your hormones, go into your thymus gland, you know, go to various parts of your body and just, in a sense, in meditation, go find the cells and be led to the cells. Get very small yourself and just kind of go in there and travel around. You know, there's been movies made where people get very small and travel through the bloodstream and stuff. And so you can use your imagination to kind of like that, to travel to the place where there's, like in the immune system, in the thymus, there are stem cells floating around in there. So what you want to do is go and find them. And you go find these cells. And it's like if you were to put it into a human analogy, you'd be going into a community and you'd go to the community and say, where are your wise ones? Where are the wise elders that know what's going on, that have the overview of everything here? And you'll be led, you know, take me to your leader, and you'll be led to those who have the perspective. So in the meditation, you can go to stem cells that have the perspective. You see?
Uh-huh.
And in a sense, they'll be like balls of light. And so you work with them as a powerful reality being, and the two of you, or the you and a bunch of stem cells, communicate with intention to do some healing work together. And you will sense their agreement, and then you will send them, direct them by meditation, by visualization, to the particular sites, the particular areas. Now, if you, for example, want to regenerate a piece of your brain, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if I wanted to get my leg to work properly, is that what I would do, regenerate a piece of the brain?
Right, because basically your leg is switched off.
Right.
And so what you will do is you'll go to, well, who has the key to the switch? Who has the access to the control room, you see, where the switch is, and can switch it back on? You see?
Yeah.
So you go into the brain and you ask around. This is in a visualization. And see, it's all through intention that this is happening. And all through your power and your choice that you can make it happen. So yeah, if you believe it, this can really work very powerfully. So you go to whoever it is, whatever the stem cells are, wherever the place is that you need to go to, and you talk to them there. and you enlist them, and you can see them in some kind of form. Sometimes you can see them. They will personify for you, or you can personify them so that you feel comfortable in communicating with them.
Uh-huh.
And have them go in there and, you know, and pull the switch. Or if they say, well, there's certain things that have to be done, and certain, we have to grow a certain cells, and we have to grow certain this, and we have to do this and that and the other in order to get, reactivate the switching panel, because somehow or another, the cable to the panel is cut, right? So we've got to repair the cable, let's say.
Uh-huh.
You see, you'll get it in a visualization, and you'll get the metaphors.
Okay.
So they'll go, and they will repair the cable, create new cells, new energies to repair the cable. And you have to see that the cable is alive. It's alive with cells.
Uh-huh.
You see, everything's alive.
Right.
Don't think of it in any kind of mechanical sense. We do say switch, but that we have to understand that it's kind of like an electrical switch in a group of cells.
But actually, don't visualize it like electronics.
Yeah, there is electronics involved, but you want to give it as much consciousness as you can.
Okay.
In the process, so the switch is essentially a group of cells that will shift electrical frequencies when given the higher, from the higher up, when given from the higher intention, from the greater intention, to change.
Uh-huh.
And they will shift polarity. Right now, you've got a bunch of stuff that shifted polarity.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
I do.
Okay. So you work it like you're gathering a whole bunch of people together, like you have a business and you have a whole bunch of, you know, associates. Not employees, but associates.
Uh-huh.
They're all partnering together, and you're going to run a big experiment. So in this experiment, what you're going to do is you're going to shift the polarity, you're going to repair the cable, you're going to have certain, the right guys in the right rooms working the right energies. You see? And so you play with it. Eventually, you will get the right visualization. You may not get it the first time or the second time or the third time. You see what we're saying? You may get a piece. And after a while, though, you will get the whole piece.
So just keep trying?
You just keep going into meditation for several times in a row. We cannot tell you what it's going to be like specifically because, number one, we don't have the time in this particular broadcast.
Yes.
And secondly, a lot of that is you getting your intention correctly online.
Uh-huh.
You see, and with that visualization you will get each piece and it will feel right to you. Oh, this feels like the right piece. This feels like the right image. This feels like the right sensation. This I get a gut feeling, good feeling about this. And that doesn't feel right, just quite on. I want this. This feels more on. And after a while you'll get what will appear to be a sequence of activities with particular places and certain images and so on. And then once you get that and it feels right, then you run it as a program, and you run it every day for, you know, a period of 28 days, a moon cycle.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
This is, you know, one of the things we would have loved to have explored this also in the workshop, but as you are obviously aware, you know, you have time. And we had to coordinate what we had to tell you within a certain period of time.
It was a great workshop. I thought it was really great, and I thought your suggestion of doing, you know, a certain part of the nervous system for a whole weekend was a great idea.
Oh, great.
I would love to do that with you.
All right. We may do that in the future, and we definitely appreciate your suggestion. We will keep it in mind and pass it on.
Well,
All right.
Thanks for being such a good friend.
What's that?
Thanks for being such a good friend.
Oh, you're very welcome, dear one. We definitely appreciate and enjoy working with you. So thank you so much for this question.
Thank you, dear.
You're very welcome. All right. Farewell to you.
Bye-bye.
All right. So the point we're making here to all of you, we don't have time for another question. We don't have time for another call-in. We apologize for that, but But this was a really good example of being able to take your power, you know, and your consciousness and be able to utilize it to make profound changes in your own physical body. Now, most of you don't really believe in that. You don't believe that that you can do it quickly. You don't believe that you can, you know, that you can heal faster than the time that the doctors basically say, this is your healing time, this is the way it goes. But if you could believe in instant healing, not just want to believe in instant healing, but not really be able to believe in instant healing, you're not going to be able to do it. But if you get to the place of where you can actually shift out of old belief frameworks, shift out of aging, shift out of, you see, because even in an aging program, if you injured yourself and you're 20, you assume you're going to heal pretty easily. But let's say you're 50 and you injure yourself. What's the program for healing at 50? It's much longer. And if you're 70 or 80, God help you. You see? Sometimes they will not even want to do a process or a surgery or something really help that they think is helpful for a senior, because the healing process might be more than they can handle. But that is belief, dear ones. It's all about belief, right? So for you to look at your beliefs, you will find where you have your limitations. You will find where you have your freedoms, and just make sure that you shift, keep shifting by choice, keep shifting by choice into beliefs with greater freedom. Now, we told Michelle, we suggested to Michelle that she repeat this meditation once she gets her correct meditation, the one that feels right, that just has the rightness to her, to repeat it for 28 days for a moon cycle. Now, why is that? We want to point that out. In your belief system, even if you personally know nothing of astrology or have any interest in astrology, or even if you believe that astrology is the work of the devil, whatever it is, astrology is still in the collective resonating as the foundation, interestingly enough, of science. Now, you may laugh, oh, astrology and science, that's not the same thing at all. But actually, in the beginning, astrology and science were inseparable. Astrologers were astronomers. Astronomers were astrologers, for example. People who did healing according to what phase of the moon it was, and through the moon cycle, and so on. Inside your emotional bodies, and connected to the earth and to the tides, are the moon cycles. And every moon cycle has a certain emotional process, a cycle of feeling, a cycle of mood, a cycle of being. You see it in the female cycle, you see. And a lot of people make a lot of jokes about that. Yes, women can get very moody at certain times of their menstrual cycle. But this is more because of the moon moves the tides. Now, science acknowledge that the moon moves the tides. Moon moves water, all right? Water is emotion in the metaphysical sense, all right? So it has a certain foundation, and there's a whole process that goes through every moon cycle, a process of building, a process of completing, a process of releasing or breaking down or letting go, a process of quiet, a process of redreaming, and then the cycle begins again. So if you do any kind of program for reality creation and you want to see a change in physical energies or physical body or anything like that, any program, if you want to break a habit or break a belief, you want to continuously make the choice, put that intention in, and get that intention oriented for about 28 days, which is about the moon cycle. That way you get every phase of the moon cycle. You don't have to wait until new moon and start and go to the next new moon unless you just want to do it that way. But whatever you do, the intention is anchored in on every level of the cycle of the moon. So therefore, if you want to break a habit or you want to, want to stop smoking, then you have to stop smoking for 28 days, and every day you repeat your choice to not smoke, and you look at what you choose to feel and experience instead. And you can do this with a belief, you can do this with anything. And in your reality at this time, that is probably the most complete and shortest cycle that you can make these changes on. In the future, it will be different. In the future, you will come to the place to where you can make changes instantly. You can say, well, I don't like that belief. I choose not to have that belief, and therefore I am going to let go of that belief, and I'm going to choose this new belief, and this belief is chosen now, and so be it. And it will shift. And your reality that is leans on that old, that relies on that old belief, will change and will leave. And the new reality will begin to emerge that you can imagine, that you can put together. Your choice. You have far more power than you know. It has been our pleasure speaking with you. We will have to leave at this point, and we're going to bring it back to the channel. To Ginger, and she will close the program. It has been such a pleasure speaking with you, and once again, we'll be with you the next, this is the third Monday, yes? And so we will be with you the first Monday of November, right? And we'll see you then at that time, at 6 p.m. Monday, Pacific time. Thank you so much for listening to us, and farewell for now. And there will be a few seconds of quiet, and then the channel will return. Well, all right, and this is Ginger, and I'm back, and it has definitely been a really intense hour. I get to listen in on these things, and seems to have been really good. Next week will be Talk at Psychic, and then the first Monday in November, we'll be back with you at 6 p.m. for more of Galexis's wisdom and their messages and their interactions with those of you who call in. So it's been a pleasure. If you want any more information on Galexis, if you want to get on the mailing list, if you want to hear about the workshops that are being released and the amazing work that Galexis is doing, or to attend any of these amazing workshops, please go to galexisspirit.com. That's GalexisSpirit.com. And look at the calendar and check out the workshops that we have there. And you can also get on the mailing list from that place, or write us a message. So it's been a pleasure, and see you next time. And so farewell for now.